your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for my brothers and sisters and my friends. I give you praise. I give you honor and glory. I thank you, God, for how you've blessed us, opened up your word, spoke to our hearts, done things, God, in confirmation, how you've proven yourself, how you've been kind to your children. I thank you. I give you praise. I give you honor. I give you glory. I thank you for the blood. I know I've said it every night, Lord, but there's nothing that can wash away our sins. And I thank you for shedding it for a wretch like me. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your word. God, it is life. It's life more abundantly. It heals. It cuts. It reveals. It chastens. But most of all, it shows your glory. I thank you for your spirit, God, because there's nothing like your spirit. It's the spirit of truth. The world just can't comprehend it. They just can't get it. God, and I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for your church. It is something that hell cannot prevail against. It can be persecuted. It can be fought. It can be aggravated, God. But the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And I thank you that you've let us be a part of that church. God, I give you praise. I thank you for these men and women. And amen. I am honored to be with you this week. And I appreciate Pastor Chuck inviting me back already, it seems like. And I'm glad for that. And it looks like they'd go, we've had enough of that sucker. Get rid of him. But I'm here for tonight at least. If you have your Bibles, hold on to them. You say, why? It's bad when you've got two messages and you got one night left.
You got 6 hours?
No, I got 6 hours. Thank you. Doubling it every night, so I've got 6 hours tonight. Yeah, I don't think so. Will you pray for me right now? I honestly have two messages. I know either one of them will work. It's God's word. It's going to work. It can't help but work. But I want it to be the most effective, don't you?
Yes.
Pray.
Father, we do thank you for your word. Lord God, I thank you for the word that's about to come. Lord, as you quicken my brother's heart to bring us not a sermon but a message to come from you to each of us, Lord God. If there be 100 in here tonight, Lord God, it will move and it will do 100 different things for us. Lord, I just thank you that that's your promise. Your word is sharp, it's quick. It's powerful, and it's going to do tonight what we need to have done. So, Father, we thank you right now for the word, your word now that's coming to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, the very word of God, we pray. Amen.
That's where we go. You have your Bibles, turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2, Old Testament. We'll start reading at verse 1. I'm going to talk about two men tonight. One by the name of Elijah. One by the name of Elisha. Elijah is a Tishbite. What's a Tishbite? A very unique group of people. One that you really wouldn't think that there'd be a great call of God out of. But God chose a man out of obscurity. Now this man is traveling to the end of his ministry. His days are about over. I mean, he's seen some phenomenal things. I mean, he's seen God open up heaven. He's seen the glory of God revealed. And he's got to find a predecessor. Elijah is a prophet that is loved by everybody. That's a lie. He is not loved. He is not liked by quite a few people. The message that he has been bringing to Israel is repent. There's been no sugarcoating to it. There's been no great grandeur. It's just been repent, repent, repent. Turn back to your God. Now he's finding a predecessor. And when he finds this young man, we won't read about this, but I need to tell the story up to this point. A young man is plowing with oxen. He's in the field. He's working. And all of a sudden, a man comes by and throws his mantle. You have to understand the mantle. The mantle really was his toli. It was his prayer shawl. And what he did when he came to him, he took his prayer shawl, threw it over his shoulders, pulled it off, put it back on, and kept walking. Matter of fact, the young man, Elisha, has to chase Elijah down. He chases him down, and Elijah asks him a question. What do I have to do with you? In other words, what do you want? And I can hear Elisha tell Elijah, well, you threw the mantle on me. I felt something like I've never felt before. Matter of fact, I felt it so strong that if you'll give me time, I'm going to take these oxen and I'm going to kill them. I'm going to use the yoke. I'm going to burn the yoke. And I'm going to go serve my family. And will you wait? And Elisha seems to be making a reasonable thing. But Elijah says, I'm going to walk on. The prophet is not going to wait for him. He wanted to see the determination of the young man. He wanted to see if he really felt something, really experienced something, and he did. Matter of fact, that's exactly what he did. And I got to say this. If you can't serve your family, then I don't know that you can serve God the way you ought to. Oh, it's good and quiet. Let it be quiet. It's okay. The first thing that he did after feeling the fire, after feeling the power of God, was that he went and served his family. Again, if you can't minister to your family, because your family knows just what you're made out of. If you can't get your family's attention about the God that you're serving, then you really need to pray. Might need to repent. Might need to go back to your family and apologize to them for being such a jerk about Jesus. Or being a jerk that says they love Jesus and doesn't show any of the love or grace or the mercy of God. Hang out with me here for a second. I know I'm a little boring right now, and I know I'm not reading Scripture again, and I've not done it. And by the way, I haven't forgot about talking in tongues, three types of tongues, tongue with an interpretation in church, personal tongue that you pray in, and a tongue that that somebody else understands what you're saying. They may be Portuguese. They may be Hispanic. And you pray in a tongue and they understand. You say, why did you say that? Because somewhere probably tonight in this service, somebody will speak in tongues and they're not demon possessed. I just thought I'd tell you that. And they don't have rabies and they won't bite you. And they don't have powder. And let's see, tonight's Friday. No, it's not snake night. Saturday is snake night. And we called off snake night. So, okay, everything's good. So far, Elijah has paid no attention to this young man. There have been no coochie coochie coo. Come on, let's go. Follow me. Come on. Come on back. Come on. We're going to walk with Jesus. None of it. This is a cruel, brutal prophet. You say, why would you call him cruel? Well, He shows the guy no compassion. He throws a mantle on him and pays no attention to him. When he asks him to stay, he keeps walking. Now, hang out with me just for a second. I know I'm recapping. But he's sort of brutal. I mean, let's face it. Most of us couldn't handle church like that. Let's face it. A lot of us like being coddled. We like being talked to. We like to grab our prophets, our pastors, our whatever, and we expect them to pay attention to us because they want us to follow them. But sometimes it takes self-determination that you're going to follow God, whether that guy right there ever talks to you one time, that you're just going to do it. You're going to do it because God put something on you that a man couldn't put on you. Hey, hang out with me just for one more second. When he threw that toli or that prayer shawl over him, that thing had been used. That thing had access on it. So we'll start reading at verse 1. And now the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind. Yeah, right. That would be cool to see, wouldn't it? Not really. I mean, it might be, but if a whirlwind came in that door right now to suck up Pastor Chuck and take him to heaven, I'm screaming like a little girl going out that door. You'd be all spiritual if you want to. Kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. No, no, no. I'll dive through that window and run over you if you get in my way. And Elisha and Elijah were on their way to Gilgal. Gilgal is a public place. Public places are a good place to get lost. Public places are a good place that if you really don't have your mind made up, you can blend into the crowd. And nobody will ever miss you. Because, ready for this? Don't forget. Elijah really wasn't catering to him in the first place. And Elijah said unto Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they both went down to Bethel. So far, hang out with me, there is no coddling. So far, everything that the older prophet has told the younger prophet is, stay here. I never called you. I never chose you. I didn't ask you to do this. All I did was what God told me to do, was put something on you. It's your responsibility. And he gives the young man every opportunity. And the next place he's taking him is taking him to church. Because that's what Bethel means. It means the house of God. And the house of God is a good place to hide. I mean, did I say that? The house of God is a good place to hide. Because that's where a lot of people hide. They hide their call. They hide their gift. They hide their ministry. They hide their anointing in the four walls of a church. Because that's the only place their anointing works. This is the only place they prophesy. This is the only place they speak in tongues. This is the only place they pray for the sick. And this is the only place they lift their hands. And this is the only place they say, glory to God! Hallelujah! So Bethel's a pretty good place for somebody to tell you, stay at church. Just bury it in the church. The world doesn't need it. So, I laid that down and Lord, I apologize. And Elisha said, this is Bethel. As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they went to Bethel, and the sons of the prophets were there at Bethel, or were in Bethel. And they came to Elisha and said, do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you? And he said, yes. Shut up. Well, I mean, or keep quiet. That's the TEB translation would be. Get out of my face. I don't want to hear it. I know it's happening. Matter of fact, It's happening quicker than I thought it would happen. In other words, the further I go with God, the more I know that ministry and gifting is not dependent upon who I walk with, but who I worship.
Yes. Amen. Well, that's good.
Verse 4. And Elijah said, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." Now, Jericho means sin, fall, abandonment, recklessness. And that's a good place probably to stay if you want to stay, because you can always go back. You don't have to go forward. You can get lost in personal sin, personal self-gratitude, personal arrogance. It's a good place. Hold on a second. If you have prayed in this revival and you feel like God has touched you, may I tell you that there will be opportunities for you to have a Jericho experience and just go back.
Yes.
Just quit. Just give up. Just lay down and die. You'll have an opportunity. But if you have a determination, you will go past Jericho. Matter of fact, he tells him one more time, Elisha does, to Elijah, you are not losing me. I am not letting you out of my sight. Matter of fact, one translation keeps saying, I'm going to keep my eye on you. I'm watching you. Wherever you go, I'm going. I am not going to forsake you. Hold on a second. Just in case I haven't told you, the prophet, the senior one, has not been nice. He has not called him. Joe said, yeah, you've told us. And I have. And we need to know it. Because if you think serving God is always about niceties, it is not. Serving God is about determination. Serving God is about desire. Serving God is a surrender to your will. To His will.
Amen.
Serving God is something about something burning on the inside of you. One day the disciples were walking on the road of Emmaus. They'd been walking with Jesus for several hours. They didn't know who they were talking to until He revealed Himself to them. And then when He revealed Himself to them, they said something like this: "Didn't our hearts burn in us while He spake to us while we were walking with Him?" You got to have a burning in your heart. It's more than saying, I want to be used of God. It's more than saying, I want to be touched of God. It's more than saying, I love God. It's more than saying, I believe in God. Because the devils believe, demons believe, and they tremble. Some of us haven't trembled a long time at His glorious presence, or trembled under the power of His touch. But I believe tonight God is calling men and women to go further than they've ever gone before. Sometimes you got to go past church. Sometimes you got to go past pleasure. Sometimes you got to go past your goosebumps and the way you feel. Sometimes you got to get past your emotions. And sometimes you just got to get over people that are not nice to you. Because, just in case I haven't told you, this prophet ain't been nice to this boy so far. So he's going to take him one other place. Man, what a place to stay. He's going to take him to the Jordan. Now the Jordan's awesome. The Jordan is a Pentecostal church. You say, how do you get that? Because there's always a flow. There's always something new at the Jordan. I mean, nothing ever remains the same. Sometimes it's flowing out of its banks 20 feet. Sometimes it's a little low, but there's always a flow. Always something moving. Not a bad place to stay. I mean, hey, who wouldn't want to stay at a flow? Who wouldn't want to stay at something deep when it gets deep? Who wouldn't want to stay when it even got shallow? Because you know it's going to rise again. It's going to come back up. So he tells the young man, stay here. Stay here. By the way, if I didn't tell you the title of my message, it's, if you can see what I see, you can have what I have. You see, determination drives men and women of faith to persevere and push into God's presence. Because they want to see, I'm tired of normal church. I'm tired of status quo church. I'm tired of church where people only come to look for a goosebump. I'm tired of church. I want church that brings a revelation. I want church that brings a renewal. I want church that brings a new desire. I want a church. I want to be a part of a church that men and women are going, have you heard what's going on down there? It's not that it's a flow. It's not that it's church. It's not that sinners are getting changed. But they have found Jesus in a new, fresh way, and they can't get enough of Him. Perseverance will push you. Perseverance will make you say what Elisha's going to tell Elijah. Oh, by the way, I know what you think I'm going to say, and I'm not going to say it. There are 50 prophets that are about to meet Elisha. Now, I've got to say this. There could have been other prophets that went across the Jordan. You say, no, there couldn't. He was the only one that had the mantle. No, these men had revelation. These men heard God. These men had been telling the boy, your man of God's going up. Your man of God is leaving. But for some reason, they were content with being prophets on that side of the move of God. I call them payroll prophets. They never want to leave. They never want to leave comfort. I like you. Thank you, sir. It's sort of like telling a pit bull, sick him to a kitty cat. You know? They're sort of payroll prophets. You know, what's in it for me? I don't want to move far from the prophet ministry. I don't want to move far from where I'm at. You know, hey, it's good for you, but, you know, it's not for me. I'm okay being content with the prophecy that I've got. Now, I don't really want to be stretched much, because if I get stretched much, I may have to do something that is out of my comfort zone. Can I say that there are a lot of prophets in churches that really have prophetic gifts, but they're so content. I'll say it like you want me to say it. They're so comfortable in the confines of their prophet harem. What'd you say, Pastor? Yeah. It's like a prophet harem. You know? Are you? No, you say, you already think, if you don't think God's talking to you, that's okay. I don't care. I don't have to give an account to you, but I have to give an account to Him. And I've heard Him just say something really crazy. I mean, I know I have never, ever, ever, ever said this, what I'm about to say. But when you prophesy in the prophet harem, you find weak people that are gullible, that are not really spiritually sound, but they'll just swallow anything, hook, line, and sinker. I'm trying to be nice here, but I'm going to be ugly. You know, Pastor and me today, we had a little encounter. And I will tell you, the Bible tells me to mark them that cause division among me and have no fellowship with them. The Bible also tells me and you that we shall discern between the righteous and the wicked, between them that serve God and them that serve them not. Huh? And a lot of times people want to prey on weak people. We weren't weak today, were we? You say, what happened? It's irrelevant what happened. But it happened in the four walls of this church by somebody trying to convince us that we were wrong. The doctrine is really that you say, Pastor, you ought not. No, I'm going to do it. I'm not the pastor. I'm the evangelist. Was trying to tell us that being born again really wasn't all that it was supposed to be. That we were little spirits floating around looking for a body. Say amen, Pastor.
Amen.
Now, I know, listen to me, you probably think that I'm a little blunt here, but it's about time this stops being a harem.
Yes.
And that every wind of doctrine that blows around, we quit swallowing it. And it's one more time that we get rooted and grounded in the Word of God. So that when deception or a lying spirit or a deceiving spirit comes rolling, strolling around, is that we're able to discern. Malachi, you know the money, Malachi, that book? Malachi says, you shall discern between the righteous and the wicked, between them that serve God and serving not. We were told today that when you come out of your mother's womb, that breaking of the water is the washing away. Oh, yeah. I just thought I would talk here as a prophet for a second and tell you something about the flow. The flow sometimes that people are wanting to flow in is not the flow.
Amen. True.
I'll quit. What? Pastor told me, no, I didn't have. Pastor, you know, I obey him. I obey God. I obey him second. Because he's the bishop of this house, not me. And he said I could go. So, I like your smile. You must smile at me. I love it when young adults smile at me like, you go ahead. I'm like, okay. There has to be a crossing over. There has to be a selling out point.
Yes.
Not to theory, not to ideology, not to what mama believed, not to what daddy believed, not what the church said, but to where you have that experience with God for yourself.
Yes. Amen.
There has to be a baptism of death. You say, what? Well, Elijah is getting ready to pull off his mantle. You didn't bring a scarf tonight, did you? Out of all nights, you didn't bring a scarf. I wish somebody had a scarf here. Anybody got a scarf? I'm going to borrow you a scarf. No, no scarf. Oh, this will work. By the way, if I use this, this won't become holy. Don't cut it up. Don't make an idol out of it. It's a rag, okay? No, $29.95 a piece. That's what they sell them for on TV. I sweated in my holy t-shirt. And you can have some of the anointing on my sweat for $29.95. Yeah. Okay. Some of those idiots might as well say that. Amen. So here we go. He takes off his tallit, his prayer shawl. He walks over to the Jordan. So far, he has not been able to convince this young man, leave me alone. He won't stay where he's told to stay.
Yes.
I just wish three people would get that and go, oh, God have mercy. I'm tired of staying where everybody tells me to stay. Now, you color in the... You color, don't cross the lines now. You know, wouldn't want to offend anybody. We got to be politically correct. You know, God, where are the people that won't take no for an answer? Where are the people that are so determined? That they get to the point that the guy looks at him one more time and says, I'm going over this river. Are you sure you don't want to stay? And you got 50 prophets telling you, hey, you know, we're good over here. You can stay with us. Make it 51. But the young man says, do what you got to do. I'm with you so far. He pulls off the prayer shawl. He walks to the Jordan. Now, some Bible scholars say that the Jordan was at its highest height, somewhere over 20 to 30 feet over its banks. That's what I've read by Bible scholars, men that are smarter than me. Mm-hmm. Whole lot. He smites the water, and all of a sudden something happens. He takes a prayer cloth and hits the water. And the water's like a semi all of a sudden. You know, just smoke. I mean, you know how a semi is when the brakes lock up. The water just locks up. I mean, pay attention here. They say it's 20 feet over the bank, and you block the water at 20 feet over the bank. Can you imagine what's happening upstream? There's a backup going on. Huh? Guess what's happening downstream? Everything's drying up. So they're stuck in between a dry place and a wet place. But here's what's happening when they go across. You ready? They're dying. Elisha is dying to himself. Elijah is dying to this world. One of them is telling this world goodbye. One of them's telling himself goodbye. And they're going in this Jordan River to go to the other side. When they get to the other side, the water begins to flow again. It's going downstream like mad. And all of a sudden, the prophet puts his tallit back around his neck and asks this crazy young man who won't take no for an answer, what do you want? Wow. Some people said, can I win the lottery? I'd like a new car. I'd like this. I'd like that. This kid goes, ready? Now, before you jump to conclusions and judge me, he says this, I want a double portion of your spirit. I want a double portion of what you got. Now, we want to hyper-spiritualize it sometimes and go, we want a double portion of the anointing. And it was going to be a double portion anointing. But this guy, Elijah, had something that Elisha wanted. I remember Bertie Calhoun in my church. She was a little prayer warrior. I wanted what she had. You know why? Because some nights, Pastor, at midnight, I'd call this senior. She's already a senior lady. I'd call her up and I'd go, Mom, I need you to pray. And this is what she'd say. Come over to the house. No, Mom, pray on. No, get over to the house. And I'd go in the house sometimes midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning. And she would take me down to her prayer room. She would make me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and a glass of milk. And she would make me eat the sandwich and make me drink the milk before she ever prayed. She would not pray for me until I ate it. I'm there crying, boo-hooing, bellering, wanting God to touch me, and she's wanting me to eat. But when that little woman prayed, it's like heaven stood at attention. Yes. Yes, sir. So all of a sudden, like heaven stopped and said, shh, Bertie's talking. What do you want? And the next thing you knew, you aren't sobbing, boo-hooing, snotting, and bellowing anymore. Nope. Next thing you knew, she had you lifting up your hands, praising Jesus, thanking Jesus. And you know what? When you walked out of there, sometimes an hour later, hour and a half later, like 2:30 in the morning, she'd be going, how you feel, son? Oh, God, I feel so good. I wanted what she had. First time I ever met Floyd Lahan. Scared me to death. He's an evangelist. Came to our church. I hadn't been saved long. This, you think I'm scary? This guy's like lions, tigers, and bears scary, you know? I mean, when he used to come, I'd sit on the front row and go, oh God, don't let him call me. Oh God, if I got sin, oh God, help me. Every time he would look at me, I'd look the other way. Huh? I remember telling God one time, God, I want that. He said, do you really? This is what he said to me. Do you really want that? And I said, yeah, I want it. He said, it's lonely. It leaves you empty feeling after you're done. Do you really want it? There's a price to be paid. You don't get it just because you say you want it. there is terms to the agreement. Anybody know about terms to an agreement? You go buy a car, you like the car, they tell you what the payment is. In your head, you're trying to decipher a way that you can pay for it. And then you sign the contract, and the first month's payment comes. That's the term of the contract. Is this, ready? If you don't pay, and you're...
No.
Slapping it back in there. If you don't pay, you become a deadbeat. Yeah. Oh, by the way, if you claim Christ and you won't pay your bills, do you know what taking the name of the Lord God in vain is? It ain't cussing. If you ought to pastor a Jew, he'll tell you what it is. He'll tell you that he did it to me that one day like this. He said, my son's last name is Rosen. He made 72 on a test. When he came home, he was happy that he passed. I wasn't. He said, I told him, son, what's your last name? He said, Rosen. He said, do you like your name? He said, well, Dad, yeah, you gave it to me. I'm your son. He said, say that again. He said, you're my son. He said, well, son, do you want to bring your father shame? Are you content with a 72? He said, your father's not content with a 72, and a Rosen name shouldn't be content with a 72. So, son, you're going to take the test again. He told his father, Father, I'm not taking the test again because I passed it. And Dave told Josh, son, you're taking the test. I don't care if they won't give you a higher score. You're going to get a higher score because you're not going to bring shame on the Rosen name. And above all that, son, you claim to be Yahweh's child. You claim to be the child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the great God of heaven. And people are watching you, and you want to give the great God of heaven your best. And Josh looked at his daddy and said, I'll take the test again. And went and took the test and made 98. So taking the name of the Lord God in vain, according to the Jews, is saying that I serve Yahweh or I believe in Jesus, but living a standard that is subpar to the name that you say you honor. Yes. It is not just a GD. It is saying that I serve the great God, the I am that I am, but I'm living or representing Him substandard. Well, I hadn't forgot what I said a while ago. He expects us to pay our bills. He expects us to do honestly. He expects us... Why did I lose y'all? I lost some people. He expects it from us. Because... Oh, man, I've done gone to meddling, haven't I? Might as well. I'm here. Why stop now? He is going to require something of this boy who says, I want what you've got. This is the requirement he gives him. If you can see me when I go, you get what I've got. But he don't stop there. He said, if you don't see me when I go, you're not getting what I got. Now, how would you act if God put that term on your spiritual walk? How would you act if God said, if you don't keep your eye on me, you're not getting what I've got? If you keep letting your eyes wander all around, man, I felt the anointing all of a sudden. You're not going to get what I promised you. Every promise in the book is mine. No, they're not. I don't want them. I don't want every promise in that book. Some of those promises are promises of rebellion, judgment, plagues, things like hemorrhoids. Yeah, he gave a group of people them. I mean, they make gold nugget hemorrhoids and send them over to the children of Israel. I know it sounds gross, but I don't want all the promises. I want the ones that pertain to life and it more abundantly. I want the blessed in the city and blessed in the field one. I want the joy unspeakable and full of glory one. I want the peace of God that passes all understanding one. I want the one that says, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. I want the one that says, if you can believe, you will receive. I want the one that says, if you come boldly to the throne room, you will obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So what do you want, boy? I want what you've got. Then walk with me. Walk with me, boy. I can see the two of them walking. Elisha has got his eyes fixed on Elijah. And all of a sudden, something happens. We'll call it a phenomena. Because it was. It was a phenomenal move of God. It was a phenomenal manifestation like had never been seen, nor will ever be seen ever again. You do understand there was only one Pentecost. There will never be another Pentecost. Pentecost, when it was enacted by God, is enacted today as much as it was then. God doesn't need to do redos. He is a God that says, when I speak, it goes forth and it travels from here to eternity. Because my words never return to me void. And while the two of them are walking, all of a sudden a chariot of fire comes down. I mean, chariot of fire. Horses of fire. Horsemen in the chariots. Driving them suckers. Yeah, get them up. 20 mule team borax. You remember that old commercial? Got like 22, got an angel up there popping the whip. Fiery whip, fiery horses, fiery chariot. And all the Pentecostals are having church. But us scaredy cats, we've ducked. Unless we've got our eyes fixed. Because, can I be ugly? I'm going to be. There would be some people would be doing this. And they take their eyes off of it. There'd be some people doing this. And they take their eyes off of it. And they think they're going to get it because they're doing this. Or they think they're going to get it because they're doing that. But he never said shout. He never said dance. He said stay focused. Amen. Write that word down. Stay focused. Stay focused. Keep your vision fixed. Keep your eye on the prize. Oh, did you hear me? It was a prize. There's a prize for being obedient. There's a prize for following through. Let me take a bunny trail here for a second. Abraham, go kill your boy. That's the TEB translation. I know no other way to say it. He doesn't tell Sarah. Told Sarah one time what God told him. She got him in a mess. Wound up with Ishmael. I may have always said this, but Abraham was somewhere in the proximity of 113 years old to 114 years old. Because the bar mitzvah of a young man is 13. So Isaac has to at least be 13 years of age. Abraham had him when? When he was 100. Now you've got 13 years later. So God has asked him 13 years later, do you have your focus fixed on me, Abraham? Yes, God, I do. Then go take your boy, your son, your only son that I count. Now I'm going to bless Ishmael. If you don't know who Ishmael is, it's ISIS. It's Iran. It's Syria. It's Pakistan. That's Ishmael. Who God said, I'll make a great nation. But he also talked about him persecuting. So Abraham tells Sarah this time, me and the boy are going to worship. We're going on a 3-day journey.
We're going to Moriah. Matter of fact, that will be the place where David buys from Arunai as a threshing floor. That, matter of fact, is the place where the Temple Mount is at. So he's going to take his boy to Moriah to offer him up as a sacrifice. Let's cut the story short, okay? Because you don't have all the night, and you don't want to really hear all that stuff. And I'll just get down to the thing that he was a covenant partner with God.
Yes.
And God asked something of him, and he couldn't tell God no. Let's see. I heard a guy preach that the other night. Boy, that guy was a good preacher. Man, that was a good guy. So he takes his son up the mountain. Stick with me. I'm talking about obedience. I'm talking about a requirement to get what God promises. Because, hold on a second. Let me give you this. If God can't possess it, he can't bless it. So he takes his boy, strips his boy down, ties his boy up. Can I use my crazy imagination for a second? I see Abraham and Isaac going up the mountain. You know what I see? I see the old church and the new church. I see the old church wanting to run ahead of the old church. Going, come on, let's get up there. Huh? Sparklers, sticks on fire, sticks with milk cartons on them, going, tweet, 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 you know? Oh, you ain't never done that? Man, it's cool. Don't do it. Don't do it. Close your ears, children. You'll get whipped. I did. I see Isaac going up with the fire, and he asks a question. Father, we've got the fire. I've got the wood. It's on me. We've got the knife. You know the one that you won't let me touch? The one that you say that's sanctified unto the Lord? The one that we cut the animal's throats with? Father, we're missing something. What are we missing, son? We're missing a sacrifice. We're missing something that will dedicate itself to God for us. When they get to the top of the mountain, Isaac finds out he's the sacrifice. If I could have a few minutes of your time to tell you a real weird story, okay? You want a weird one? You got to have a ram or a goat without spot or blemish. And all of a sudden, when God gives him something, he's going to give him a ram or a goat that without spot or blemish. And it's been living in the wild for 3 years, because it has to at least be 3 years old. By the way, do you know that the shrub on this mountain, that there is no shrub large enough in that region to catch a ram by the horn? Do you know that God probably blew, this is what a Bible scholar, two Bible scholars said, that God probably blew a seed out of the valley to this mountaintop, and the shrub is growing, and all the little shrubs are looking at the big shrubs going, aren't you out of place? And he goes, yes, I am. Matter of fact, I'm a valley shrub, and I really like living in the valley, dude. I'm not really a mountain person, you know? I don't like hiking, and I don't like this, but God blew me up out of the valley. And I don't know why I'm here, but he did it. So God, hang out. You say you were talking about Elijah and Elisha. Yeah, but this is a good injection right here. Because there has to come a time when you're willing to give it all up. You got to keep your eyes on who called you.
Come on, amen.
Abraham is so fixed on God that he pulls the knife back, and it takes the angel of the Lord calling him out twice. Abraham, Abraham. I for myself, I've seen what you did, but I for myself, not for you, not for Isaac, but for myself, have provided a ram stuck over in the thicket. Go get it and kill it. Now, can I finish just, you'll give me permission, won't you? I can see after all is said and done, Isaac's got his clothes back on and they're going down the mountain. You know what's happening? The new church and the old church are going down the mountain at the same pace. Daddy, I ain't never... That's pretty good. I got goosies on that one. Daddy, I... There's hope for the church.
Amen.
There's hope for the church to stop fighting the young and the old and the new. And the, anyway, enough said there. They're going down the mountain, and Isaac's going, God, Daddy, I ain't never seen anything like... He said, boy,
I've seen God do a lot of things, but man, did he not show up tonight for us. Can I go a little bit further? Says, Joe, I can see Isaac when mama's tent got in distance, that he took off running to mama, slid through the curtain door and go, Mama! You'll never guess what happened to me and Daddy on top of the mountain. Mama, we went up on the mountain. I know Daddy told you we was going on a journey, but Daddy took me up on top of the mountain, stripped me down naked, laid me down, took a knife, was going to stick it in my chest. She goes, whoa, boy, what'd you say? That's why he never told her. She would have stomped him silly going to kill her boy. Huh? And all the mamas said, amen. And Abraham comes walking through the door and she says, so he's going to kill him, huh? He said, God provided. Abraham's going, God provided, honey. She says, you better be glad God provided. I hear him go, honey, have you forgotten the promise of God? That God, if he killed him and I burnt him, he would raise him up even out of the ashes.
Yes.
Because this boy is the promise to the nation of Israel that in Isaac all your seed will be blessed. I'll go back to my story. I just thought somebody might need that. For to whom it may concern, and for those that didn't need it, file it for a rainy day. So while the two of them are walking, a whirlwind comes down and snatches up. Hold on. You got distraction number one. What? Say that again. It's coming from I hope you don't get offended. It's coming from a big man with a deep voice. A big distraction. And I would say to you, sir, amen. Because it is a majorly big distraction when something comes that you're not expecting and somebody's told you, you better keep your eyes fixed.
Amen.
And then the next distraction comes. It's not like the first one wasn't good enough. Now there's a twister comes. And I'm not talking about that twister. I'm talking about a Kansas City coming down. Tornado Alley speaking. And it snatches the prophet up. And all along, the boy is supposed to keep his eye on the old man. Yeah, you ever thought about it like this? You ever thought what a major distraction? What a major fight it must have been. Because I like fire. I like watching fireworks at Disney. I mean, I'm easily distracted. I'm ADHD, you know. I'm easily distracted. I mean, and here comes distraction and there's another one. But this guy has determination. God, I don't want to confess it, but I'm going to. He's got a determination that I have fought lately to have. He has a determination that I have fought lately to have. And that's to keep my eyes focused on Jesus.
Yes.
Because I see a lot going on around me in the world.
Come on.
Now, I'm not going to preach about ISIS or anything, but there's trouble in the world, and I get my eyes fixed on it. There's problems in our society, and I get my eyes fixed on it. There's bad people doing bad things to good people. They men doing stuff to children that you don't want to even know my opinion on stuff like that. And I'd get my eyes fixed on something like that. I could get my eyes fixed on the failure of a brother or sister or an attitude of somebody. And I can easily get my eyes off of Jesus. I can easily get my eyes off the one I'm supposed to be walking with. I can easily get my eyes off the one that said, I won't ever leave you. I won't ever forsake you. I'll be with you all the way even to the end. I live in a world that pleads with me not to look at Jesus. Every magazine it seems I open, men, there she is. The commercials, hey, I'm back on it again. I ain't picking on you. Victoria's Secret comes on. I mean, they ain't bad looking. I mean, they're not bad looking. And I don't want to switch the channel. I don't.
Voila.
I'm like the guy in California that had a sign that said, I want a beer. That's what his sign said. It didn't say he was hungry. It didn't say anything else. So I'm like the guy with the sign. Voila. I am aggravated at the world. The fear factor wants to grab me and cause me to stockpile food, ammo, and everything else. And get ready to kill anybody. Help me. Talk to me. And there may be some truth to that. But I can't get my eyes on that. 7 miles from my church is one of the top 10 Al-Qaeda training camps. It is 3 miles from our new Catawba nuclear plant. Now I live there. I'm in the blast zone of the nuclear plant. That if somehow it would happen, it'd kill me and my family. I can't get my eyes on that. I have to keep focused. Because if I get my eyes off of Jesus, I'll set it on one of you or set it on somebody else. And man, I can't talk for y'all. And talk for me. I can get mad. I can get hateful. I can get spiteful. I can get ugly. I don't need Medea. I can just do it. I can do it on my own. When I get my eyes off Jesus. But this guy doesn't take his eyes off the promise. This guy doesn't take his eyes off the prize. Paul said it like this. I'm going to try to close here. I press toward the mark and the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting about the Gilgal, forgetting about Bethel, forgetting about Jericho, forgetting about the flow of the Jordan. I forgot all of that. I went in and I died. The only thing that I'm looking for Jesus. I'm looking for His glorious appearing. Now hold on. If you think I'm talking about the rapture, I may be, but I'm not. I'm looking for the glorious appearing of Jesus in my life. In my personal life, where He transforms me and renews me daily in the inward man, that I'm renewed, renewed in hope, renewed in grace, renewed in mercy, renewed in faith. Do I need to quit tonight? I mean, it's Friday night, and y'all look a little tired, and I don't want to wear you out, okay? But all of a sudden, this guy's gone, and that's floating. Sort of caught you off guard throwing it, didn't I? I meant to. It floats down. He goes over, picks it up. He said, well, I did everything I could on my part. Let's go see if God works. Yeah. Huh? That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's go see how God works for me. Now, hold on. The boy don't really have great confidence yet because when he goes to the Jordan, this is what he's going to do. He's going to do it in somebody else's name. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. He takes the mantle, unfurls it, and goes, pops the water. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Now, he did that. Catched it, didn't you? He did it in somebody else's name, and it worked one time. And the water opened up, and he went over on the other side. If I can have 3 to 5 more minutes of your time, I need to tell you something. When he gets to the other side, he meets those 50 prophets. And those 50 prophets humiliate him because he doesn't know what he's got yet. Or better than that, he doesn't know who's got him yet. Because they humiliate him and they say something to him like this. Preadventure, let us go look for Elijah. For he may have been thrown up on top of a mountain or in a valley. That's what they said. And he didn't want to do it, but they humiliated him. And they took 3 days looking for him. But in that 3-day period of time, say resurrection.
Resurrection.
God resurrected something in this young man that from that day on, nobody would ever mess with again. He took those 3 days and meditated on what God had done. He took 3 days and thought about the greatness of God. He took those 3 days and thought, I don't have to be intimidated by anybody. He took those 3 days and said, I'm anointed. I'm the anointing of the Most High. I had some old guy come by and he wouldn't pay me no attention. Treated me bad. Acted like he didn't want to do anything with me. But I went on and did it anyhow. And when he got ready to go, he asked me a question. And I told him what I wanted. And I expected to get what I wanted. Because he made me a promise. Amen. That if you see me, you get it. And he said, I didn't take my eyes off of it. So when they come back, he straightens everything out. He really starts straightening things out. The water in the city is Myra, bitter. And they come to him and say, will you fix the water? He handled the prophets. But then he went to the city and the city said, could you fix us? Our water's bitter. In other words, our ministry has got out of order. Could you sort of fix us? So he fixes the water. But the final thing I want to leave you with is that there's some young kids that make fun of him. Hold on. Could I give you a little warning about making fun of what you don't understand? It's sometimes best to not mess with what you don't understand when it comes to God. And just let God be God. And you just step back and scratch your head, what hair you got left or whatever, and go, I don't understand that. I ain't touching it. I just don't understand it. Because there's some kids, undoubtedly their mom and daddies were gossips. And they didn't think much about ministry. And it crept down into their kids. And their kids started making fun of ministry. Started making fun of the things of God. And they called him a bald head. Because he was bald headed, undoubtedly. And they started mocking him. Go up, thou bald head. Go up. Go up like your master did before you. Except this time, he didn't do it in the name of Elijah. He did it in the name of Elisha. You know what he does? He calls two mothering bears. The word she-bear meant they had cubs. He calls two she-bears out of the woods. And the she-bears start devouring these kids. Don't mess with the anointing. Hold on, you said you're ending it all wrong. No, I'm ending it all right. Some of you, listen to me, need to refocus your vision and your priorities. Amen. You need to get your vision back right, get your priorities back right, and focus it all on Jesus, not on the church, not on a preacher, not on people, not on your job, not on your money, not on the crisis of the world. Is refocus it, reprioritize it back on Jesus. Because here's why. You want the prize.
Amen.
You want the blessing. You want the anointing. You want the favor of God on you. You want the outpour. You want the prayer life. You want the ability to come boldly and get what God wants you to have. I ain't lost for words, but I just like take a second and go, thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Say, why would you tell him thank you, sir? Because I want to keep my eyes on Jesus. I want to keep my focus on Jesus. And I feel like he's giving me an opportunity. I don't know about any of you. I feel like he's giving me an opportunity to not set my focus on him. He may test me like Abraham and ask something of me that I don't want to give up, but I'll give it up because he asked it. I'll surrender it because I know there's benefits. I know there's blessings to what he wants out of my life.
Amen.
Not really. I know the anointing. And I've had the anointing.
had that anointing. Because when that anointing's there, it really gets, can I use the word crazy? Crazy! Awesome! Oh my God! How did you know? And I want my place.
I need to pray for you.
Okay. Come sit right there. We're going to let you.
Hey, I got all over me. If it wasn't all over me, I wouldn't do it.
You sit there. You're the only one I'm going to let pray for.
Amen.
Amen.
I let nobody else put their hands on me unless I peek you from here up. You hear me?
Yeah.
I'm very peculiar who lays hands on me.
Amen.
I'm a weirdo. And for some reason today, in this building, he was here with me and Pastor Chuck. He reprimanded that person. He wasn't a pastor, he wasn't a preacher, but he turned to her and said, "You're wrong. You're dead wrong. I want somebody like that to put hands on me."
Amen.
Sit there and listen, okay? So what you doing? I'm opening up the seat because I'm going to have one other person pray for me. Beaver, get out of here.
Yeah.
If I'm going to believe what I prophesied over you last night, I'm going to let you put your have a seat right there for a second.
Yeah.
I'm going to let Beaver put his hands over and pray for me. Because I believe this about you tonight. I want to put my hands on you and pray for you. And this is what the Lord told me, okay? When you pray for me, He's going to release something on you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. It's almost like a little song I hear in my head. I'll never be the same again. I'll never be the same again. Since I walked where Jesus walked, I'll never be the same again.
Hallelujah.
And I got a feeling when you put your hands on me, you're going to get what I got.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I
met
you. I
want to
put my hands on you.
Oh, man, that's a good one. I know you do. I know. I just want to never laugh.
Yeah.
Come on, that's
awesome. Hold on a second.
Praise God.
Woo!
Yeah!
Woo!
Yeah!
Man. Oh, I got one other person. I want to go have two of you. I got one other person. Can I break this picture loose? Oh,
glory to God. Hallelujah.
I need another chair from somewhere. Hold on. I look there from far. I've got to get these same chairs in the church. I want you. Pray for me. God, are you through with me doing that? Anything here? You are, my good. Two thumbs up for you. Who should I get to be in this fourth chair? Huh?
Do it.
Who's Billy? I need another chair. Who's going to sit in my fifth chair?
I think Jeff has got to sit there.
I don't.
I was going to say that you got to pull out another one. I'll sit there too.
Oh, come on. Oops, sorry. I need another chair. Come on, right here. Sit. Yet. He said you. I didn't choose you. He did. I remember you.
Man.
All right.
Don't make me sick lease on you. I need one more. I need the seventh man. Pastor Chuck. I need you. Slide a little bit. Let's put Pastor Chuck on the altar. Oh, you say, why are you doing this? I would go to only use one person, and that's him. And I'm not putting on a show or nothing. I was going to do two, then four, and now we got a mess.
Oh, my.